I'm Martin Wilson, and this is The Next Turn, powered by ProTurn.io. The Next Turn is the home of conversations about skiing, ski racing, and sport. So thank you for joining us in the pursuit of better. To be better athletes, better coaches, better parents, and better fans. This week, a conversation with Laura Cottori and Daniela Ciccarelli. Welcome back to The Next Turn. It's good to have you here. As always, it is good to have Jeff Vibert and Kara Williams by my side. Jeff Vibert, how you doing, man?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. A little chilly out here. Maybe we're getting some winter soon. Ready for the holidays. Ready to go. Kara, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, too. I think it's almost winter again here in Ontario, so I'm looking forward to getting some snow this weekend, hopefully. Fingers crossed. And getting some chairs turning.
Amen. Here we go. Let's get things going on the East Coast here. This week, we have a really cool conversation with Laura and Daniela. Jeff, why don't we get started and give us some hard facts on this mother-daughter duo.
Laura Cottori, born in Turin, Italy. Wait for it, guys. November 15th, 2006. That means she turned 16 less than a month ago. Born to ski racing parents, Italian gold medalist Daniela Ciccarelli and her husband Alessandro Cottori. After winning the overall South American Cup as a first-year FIS athlete this summer, she made her World Cup debut in Levy, narrowly missing the second run in the slalom. She raced again in Killington. You got to see her there, Martin, finishing 17th in the GS, and she will make her first World Cup speed start this weekend in St. Moritz.
Thank you for that, Jeff. She's young. The hard facts are thin still. The story is to be written. But what's the story so far here, Kara?
Well, I would be surprised if there are any listeners out there who aren't somewhat familiar with the story already. With an Instagram following of over 45,000, Laura Cottori is the young Italian-born prodigy that many of us have been watching for years. And if you're a skier, someone has probably sent you a video of Laura or her younger brother, Yuri, absolutely shredding a race course. As you said, Jeff, Laura grew up being coached by her parents, Alessandro and Daniela, who founded Golden Team Ciccarelli, which is an independent ski club that pretty much wins everything their athletes enter. This past summer, Laura competed in her first FIS races ever in Chile. She did very well. At only 15, she made her World Cup debut, the youngest World Cup debutante in the last 47 years, and she's already scoring World Cup points. So yes, she is being compared to Michaela Schifrin, but the story that is also causing a lot of discussion and some criticism is Laura's choice to ski under the flag of Albania rather than her home country of Italy. And this came as a surprise to many as her mother, Daniela, won a gold medal at the 2002 Olympic Winter Games for Italy. And in this interview, Laura and Danny share some insight into their family project. They speak to Laura's unique pathway. And yes, they discuss why they chose this route for Laura.
Kara, thank you so much. That was terrific. Jeff, thank you for the hard facts. Kara, thanks for the story. And now we give you our conversation with Laura Cottori and Daniela Ciccarelli on The Next Turn. Laura, you're in St. Moritz, a couple days away from your first Super G.
Yeah.
How excited?
I'm excited. I'm really happy to be here. And yeah, I really like the slope and also the snow. It's really like soft and easy. So yeah, I like it.
It's such a bizarre place for you to be in. You just turned 16. You're now racing your third new World Cup event. You've had success in the first two already. Can you take stock? Can you think about where you thought you'd be a year ago?
I think I didn't realize it now. 1 year ago, I was thinking, yeah, just doing races, and just relax and easy. But now I'm happy to be here in the World Cup, and then I can see there, I can push more, and then I can go more faster. And I don't know, yeah.
Are you still at the point, like, are you happy just to be there, or now are you want more? You want more? quickly.
No, I'm just here to have fun and then just to do some experience and just let go and push and then just step by step. So yeah, we will see.
Such a good answer. Daniela, obviously you guys have been working together her whole life. Was there something that happened this summer that, or when was it that made you think that your daughter was ready for the World Cup, and how are you going to use the World Cup as part of your training process? When did that opportunity open up in your mind?
I think that we started thinking about this at the end of the summertime because, you know, we have been involved. She has been involved in the South America Cup, and she won the South America Cup, and she had the chance, especially in Ushuaia, in Argentina, at the end of this long, long period of training and races, she had the chance to, yes, to race with very strong athletes as Larsson, Lorsson. The pronunciation is very, very tough for us. And there was Hector. Also Sarah Hector. And yes, we saw that she wasn't so far. Actually, she was far, of course, because of the experience, also the strength, also because it was very icy there. But she liked a lot that kind of challenge, and she grew up very fast in that period. In Ushuaia, on racing with them, with such strong athletes. So there, we realized that each time we try to rise the bar, she tries to push more and more. So we started in Ushuaia thinking, why not? Why not? Why we are following a normal path, doing all the fierce races? Why we don't try to put her in this kind of challenge that she likes a lot?
Laura, it for you, you've got a multi-sport background. You're pretty good figure skater, pretty good tennis player. You can do a lot of things quite well in a competitive way. Does it matter that it's skiing that you're good at, or you just, whatever it is in front of you, like you like to get better at quickly?
Yeah, I want to do everything good. It's like something that inside me that pushed me every time to do something more better than last time. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah, it's something that pushed me every day to do something better. And yeah, it's like something
not,
normal.
Not just in skiing, also
no,
when,
in everything.
When you skate, or we have a lot of family challenges during the day. Sports, always in sports.
I bet you do. Can you talk, Laura, can you talk about your figure skating background a little bit and some of those other sports that you play? Because I want to ask, how do those other sports show in your skiing?
So I started to doing ice skating like when I was 5 years old in France. And I just stopped it like 2 years ago because it was like another sport in winter time and then always in the weekends. And it was the races like in the same weekends of the races of skis. So it was really tough. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just training and just to have fun. And yeah, I do also tennis or sometimes swim and yeah, like everything I want to do. So.
Do you have a group of friends, or is it your brother Yuri that's always playing tennis with you, doing these adventures with you? Is it your family? These other aspects of your athletic background, who are you doing them with?
Oh, tennis, it's always like with my family, with mom and dad and my, yeah, with Yuri.
Your boyfriend too?
Yeah, sometimes. Don't worry. And yeah, it's always like with my family, and I don't have so much time to spend other time with friends and doing sport with other friends. I have my best friend that she's a swimmer, but yeah, also her, she's always in training, and then we don't have time.
Daniela, all the figure skating, the tennis, the games, the competition with the family, is that all on purpose?
There wasn't a plan about figure skating because it was useful for skiing, but we discovered that it was when we saw her on very difficult kind of slopes, icy slopes, she had acquired some very important skills in skating. But she started just because we were committed on the glacier in Les Alpes. We used to spend our summer time in Les Alpes as formers, so we used to manage some training camps there. And she was too young to spend so much time on the glacier, so high, so demanding. So we tried to commit her in something else, and it was the ice skating, because there was this ice ring at the start of Gondola in the Alps, and we just left her with the ice skating teacher for 4 hours every day. it was a sort of babysitting for us. And then when we realized that it has been very, very useful, because she acquired so many skills, and especially in managing, changing the edges, rotations, managing her body in the space, jumping. And she reached a very high level, because she's very shy, so maybe to tell about, but she has been a bronze medal at the national championships in France. So she's able to do some double jumps.
And I tried the triple one, but it's too difficult. I'm too happy.
Watch this space. You'll get it. I have no doubt that you'll get it.
Because she gained some weight, you know. Now she has a stronger body, and also not so, I say, skinny.
That's fair. Laura, when you think of the ski life and what you're doing, what are the best parts? What are you doing when you're feeling good and it all feels worth it?
I'm feeling good when I'm like alone with mom and dad, and there is anyone else, there is my course, and then it's just me and the snow and my skis. I'm feeling pretty good. So when it's like really quiet, and then I can see the mountains all around me, it's like something magic.
Wow. I'd go there. That sounds pretty cool.
This morning it was like this.
Yeah.
Just us, because all the other racers were involved in the trainings, downhill trainings here in St. Moritz. So we had the warm-up just for us.
Yeah. You had a little bit of a sleep-in, good breakfast, warm-up course. In the beautiful snow globe of St. Moritz, everything is pretty good. Good for you. Daniela, can you talk technically with us about what you see in Laura's skiing, and when you saw the fundamentals that you thought should be really good?
Actually, we had worked a lot on the basic skills, as making her upper body stable, finding a very strong and efficient initiation with an early edge. So I think that at the moment, she doesn't need to be focused on that kind of skills. She has just to adapt the skills that she acquired to the situation. So we are working on situation. We try to, yes, to reset the course every run or every two runs.
Yeah.
Finding some challenging situations, you know, changing of terrain, different kind of snow, turning courses or easy courses.
Yeah.
We are just working on this, asking her to make speed every turn.
But at the same time to adapt.
Yes, at the same time, she tried to adapt to the situation.
That can be frustrating for a lot of athletes, Laura. That can be really hard. As soon as your mom started talking about it, you kind of perked up and said, yeah, that's what we do. We like that. We like changing things.
It's funny, I think, every time to do something different and then to adapt. So for me, it's funny.
It is fun for you. Do you track any of that? Like when you try all these, like at the end of the day, Laura, do you write anything down? How do you debrief your day? Like when you're learning as much as you're learning every day, learning more, do you like write that down? Do you log that? Do you categorize that? What do you do with all that information you get every day and the things you learn?
I think every time I learn something, like the day after, it's normal for me. So I don't have to think about it and then to have to do it. Because, yeah, sometimes, not always, but yeah.
Often.
Yeah, often it's like this. So
a natural path.
Yeah.
Natural process. Sometimes. We try.
No, that's great.
If you mean if she uses to write the things that she learned during the day on a diary, no, she doesn't.
When you think of your daughter, not the young athlete, your ski racing, but when you think of your daughter and you go back to your career as an Olympic gold medalist, do you see what similarities do you see in as a skier and as the character inside? What do you think she has that's useful that you had, and what do you think is the updated version?
Actually, nothing, because
really
totally different from me, because I was pragmatic. I liked in the past when I was a racer, I liked doing the same thing every day. Appreciating how much I was able to improve the same movement, the same kind of training. With her, it's totally different because she just needs to have fun. So you also, as a coach, for me, it's very tough, this kind of work because of job, because I have to change every day the situation. Otherwise, she got bored. So it's a totally new experience. You know, I learned skiing very late because I was born in Rome. I come from Rome, a place very far from mountains. So it was just about my passion to study how to acquire the skills of the champions. With her, it's totally different because she grew up. When I was a racer, she was at the finish line waiting for me, plays with their small skis, playing with the snow. So this is her natural environment.
Mm-hmm.
So also for me, it's a totally different historic path.
That's so great. Kara?
You guys seem so connected and such good friends. It's really fun to see. I'm a coach parent as well. When I first met you two, we trained next to each other at Copper Mountain, and I was there with my son, who's a year younger than Laura. And so I understand the ups and downs of traveling together with your family. You're coaching your kids, you're helping them with school. It's a 24-hour a day job. For me, I realized when my son was about 13 that I had tapped out. He had learned everything from me he could, and I was happy to move him along. I'd love to know how, like, you obviously have a gold medal. That's pretty cool. So you've got some pretty amazing experiences to share. And how do you keep yourself current? And what is it that what is the thing that you two have that is making this so successful?
You know, as a mom, it's not easy every day because sometimes there are some natural conflicts between us because, you know, she's a teenager. So sometimes it's very tough to find a compromise in being a mom and a coach at the same time. But we try just to remember each other that the maybe the key is not get everything too much serious. Remember each other that we are playing in my opinion, the best game of our life, and so we have just to play it and not be too much. Yes, I mean, committed, it's a good thing, but not too much stressed about. And so I don't know if in the future it will be the same. Maybe she will need some different advices, some different feedbacks from another coach. So at the moment, this situation, it is the best situation for her because she's very young. She needs also someone who cares about her studying, how she's the nutrition, how she rests between races, between trainings. But in the future, I think that this path is aimed to allow her to gain her own ownership. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it makes
we
sense.
We like that word.
That
like
makes that absolute word, sense. Right? Yeah, I love that.
Thank you, God.
Laura, I would ask you the same question, maybe differently from your perspective. How do you manage mom and coach?
I think when I was a little kid, and then always when I was in the races, like when I was 60 years old, it was always mom at the start and then dad on the slope. So for me, like, it was always like this. And then also now it's like this. And it's something normal. And yeah, we have to, I don't know, mom, it's mom. And then it's like when we are at home and then when I have to study and it's her, and then yeah. And then when we are on this lobby, she's my coaches. So also mm-hmm. that same thing.
It's amazing that you seem very practical about this is just my reality. That's really great. What's dad's role in your team?
So mom, she's like in the part of like what I have to do and what kind of things I have to be focused. And then dad is like on he prepared the skis, and then I don't know, he changed
the courses. Yeah.
They do the not the same thing. Like, they are different coaches.
He's doing everything your mother is not doing.
Yeah, it's like this.
That's great.
Do you call them mom and dad on the hill, or do you have other names for them?
No, when we are on the slope, like Danny and Colt.
Yeah.
And okay. Then when we are at home, it's like mom and dad. Yeah.
Because actually, since last year, we were also the coaches of the ski club.
Yeah.
So in front of the other teammates, she didn't like calling us mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why on the slopes she uses to call us Dani or Colt. Colt has Colturi, so
yeah, sure. That's awesome.
Coaches all agree that video analysis is one of the best ways to improve performance. But imagine if we could make it even better. ProTurn.io lets you take your video analysis to the next level by overlaying speed, acceleration, and turn data into your videos. This enhanced video analysis helps athletes of all levels understand the impact of their tactics and techniques on their speed and time. Start elevating your training. Visit ProTurn.io/thenextturn and get 10% off your ProTurn pack. ProTurn.io. Train smarter, improve faster.
Daniela, what about your experience as an athlete and a gold medalist? Again, I mark that because it gives you a lot of opportunities that others don't necessarily have. But what in your experience made you think that I really want this for my daughter? A lot of athletes don't necessarily want their kids to follow them in their footsteps or put them in other sports on purpose. What, from your experience, I guess my question is, from your experience, what is it that you want Laura to get from skiing?
I have done, I think, the best experience of my life, skiing and reaching the gold medal in Salt Lake City, but it has been at the same time very stressful for me because the pressure sometimes, especially after the gold medal, it has been too high on my shoulders. So when she started skiing with me, I thought that I want in any case share this passion with her, but without that kind of pressure, without that kind of stress about showing to the others what you are able to do. I mean, I just wanted to share with her the passion mm-hmm. and how beautiful is this sport when you try to improve your skiing, when you try to acquire, yes, when you try to learn new skills in different kinds of situations. That's all.
That's all. Do you worry about anything?
At the moment, not so much. You know,
this bet right now.
It has been very tough for us. It has been the tougher choice of our life, and we took it together, talking a lot at home. And we worried at the start of this adventure. We worried a lot, but at the moment not so much because everything looks like natural, easy, and
you're having fun now.
Yeah, I'm having fun now. Also, at the Stargate, the emotions are totally different from those I had when I was an athlete because We are there together, and it's very, yes, it's exciting.
It's really exciting. It's exciting to watch. Can I take a few moments? Just, I'm new to this, but I don't know if I'd be doing my job if I didn't ask about the transition from Italy to Albania. What was part of that process? What was the criteria? I got to imagine as a parent, like you being very protective and looking after Laura, it was a big part of it. So that's one question. And the other question is, Laura, does it even matter to you?
So the question is for Lara.
No, now I just know that I'm happy to be here. And yeah, we have done it. It's something that we have done it all together. So now I'm here with my mom and dad, so I'm just relaxed. And
seems to work out pretty well.
Yeah.
Daniela, what was in that process?
Actually, when she was at the end of the last season, she had the chance to do a training session with the national team, with the coaches of the national team. And as experience, it has been the best of her life, because you know, they were focused on different aspects, not just having fun, but they were stressed about some technical aspects. So in that period we thought that this kind of family balance, that it has been very important for her since now. It's the useful environment for her. And so the choice is that we made just because of this. To keep this kind of bubble around her, protecting her from this stress, this mm-hmm. pressure. And when we found this opportunity, because it's about just opportunity, the opportunity to go on with this kind of family team with Albania, we choose to change the federation.
That's a fair answer. Laura, do you realize how big of a deal you are? Like multi-sport athlete, you are incredible at just about everything you do. You're smart, you know, languages. You're athletic, you're beautiful, you've got Instagram followers. Do you know how big of a deal you are?
Oh, right now, I don't think so.
I love that.
Like, just, I'm a normal person that, like, with Instagram, I just post what I'm doing. And it's like, I don't know, something for me that I can, like, in the future to remind me what I've done. It's like something, I don't know, it's like
that's your journal.
That's your journaling. Yeah,
and I'm not realizing that I am in the World Cup, and then it's like 1 year ago I was watching the World Cup in the TV, and now I'm here. So it's
Daniela, I got to think that with a talent like Laura's and improvement coming at such rapid speeds and opportunities coming all the time, it's got to be kind of hard to look ahead, to plan ahead. How far can you? Do you? Are you able to?
Oh, my God. Actually, we are changing our program, our plan every week, because we started saying, okay, let's go to Solden. We are going to check Lara's level, how much is far from the best athletes. Then that race has been canceled, as you know. And so we had to change our plan, and we switched that opportunity on Levi. It was slalom and not GS, but she's involved in both, also in speed sometimes. So it was just the need to know how much we had to work on some technical aspects in order to get ready for the big jump. Mm-hmm. But when we were in Levi, she has done 2 weeks of training with the other athletes. We had the chance to try the race course, the black. And in that occasion, we saw her improving so much. Just watching Petra Vlova, Shiffrin, Liz Berger, and there was a kind of fire in her eyes, because she's starting thinking, okay, let's do it. I try to do the same. And she also, she realized that the most big difference between her and them, it's about intensity. If you watch the first race in which she didn't qualify for 9 cents, but she was very, very close to the qualification. She didn't push the last gates to the finish line, just because But she's coming from a totally different environment. It's normal like this. So she has to do the experience. Oh my God, maybe if I'm going to push until the end, also the last gate, maybe the next time I have the chance to qualify for the second run. It has been like this in Sestriere. So that's why we are going on in doing World Cup races, but we don't think that she's going on also for in January and February, because there will be some junior races as the World Championships in Sant'Anton, the European Olympic Games in Tarvisio. So in our opinion, we will back to that kind of races in which she can compare also with the other athletes or the same age.
That's interesting. So you'll have a combination of World Cup starts and some Europa Cup starts, even Youth Olympics, World Championships. That sounds like a pretty, speaking of changing a course every two runs to keep it exciting, that seems pretty exciting winter ahead for you, Laura.
Yeah, I'm focused always. Like, I always talk with my mom and then to said her, we have to try different situation, different kind of things, because yeah, it's our sports, and then the also like the weather, it can change, and the snow and the slope and everything can change. So you have to try to training to in always different thing.
You're so right. It's so great that you're at that age and you're thinking like that. Carrie, you look like you want to jump in there.
I'm interested in your patience. I mean, you're a teenager, and you sound like you're able to keep yourself grounded and have a patience about when is the right time for you. If you make the second run, awesome. You know, are you a patient person? Is that part of your strategy?
I don't know. Sometimes I'm patient, but sometimes it's like I want to do it, and then sometimes I want things like earlier, but I can't. So I have to wait sometimes. I don't know.
Okay, so a backup question is, are you afraid? Are you afraid to try it and not get it right?
I don't know.
I don't think afraid, but especially about speed, you know, you have to be patient, because you have to learn so many different skills as jumping, how making speed, how to be smooth on your skis. And especially this summer when she raced for the first time in Super G, and she has done the forerunner for some downhills, she wanted everything fast. Everything suddenly. So we tried to explain her that especially in speed, you have to be patient, because there are so many risks in doing things with a lot of courage, but without your right mindset.
I love how you talk about mindset. Laura, I know for a fact that you have listened to a few episodes of our podcast, and right? Have you
listened?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of the athletes talk about mindset and being present.
What are you doing in that area of mental health, of mental strength, toughness?
I'm doing something with Biotechna. And we are trying to have this mindset, like to be focused, and then like to have this bubble, and then inside the bubble to have something like something's positive, and then to have to be focused on some things, just like a couple of things, not so much. So it's like, yeah, we are working on, and then I have to work about these things. So, but I think I'm pretty good with my mindset now.
I'd say you are. When you look at the other, like, it's you know, because you're so young, you're watching these World Cup racers that now you're racing with. Who do you look at as a skier that really impresses you? And then who do you look at, like, as a bigger model that you need to look to help you on the tour?
When I was a little kid, I was watching Michaela Schifrin. I think she's like, oh, so yeah.
Yes.
You can see that she's like in the bubble, and then she's like every time focused, and then she don't get things negative on her space. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, she's always focused to be fast and then to be, like, good with her.
Daniela, who are your role models? Who are you looking to? Who is your mentor as a parent / coach of a generational talent? Who's helping you?
Oh my God. I don't know because you know, it's a very difficult role, and there is any chance to copy someone else, because everyone has his own story. So we just try to be committed on our path, not watching too much the others. I know a lot of people used to say you are very similar to, but I don't agree with this, because actually every one of us he has his own
story.
So actually I don't know, I'm fascinating about Marcel Hirscher and his father, or about Schifrin and her mother. There are so many parents in this world of alpine skiing. A lot of parents. Also Pinchero, he has his father always to his side. Christoffersen has been coached by his father. His father is always committed as coach. But I don't know if I have a real model about. I don't think so.
It's an individual sport, so everyone it's focused to about its own story. Yeah, it's something. Everyone is different than others, I think.
You're pretty smart. I think you're really smart. I really do. I think it's impressive. Laura, you say you don't wear anything, right? Because everything's good right now, right? Everything's a good place. You got your family, you got your bubble, and everything's good in your bubble. As you get older and go through the sport at different levels, from World Cup to Europa Cups to all the places that you get to go compete, what's important to you? How do you make sure it stays fun?
I don't know. I have sometimes that I'm not having fun, and then I said, oh, I think we were in Chile, and then I said to my mom, I don't want to do training today because I'm bored, and then I don't want to do it. I just want to do free skiing and then just to have fun, and then just, so yeah, I have time that I'm bored, and then it's like everything is heavy, and then I don't want to do it. And then, yeah, I said to my mom and just said, I have to find a different way, find something that I want to having fun, because it's not like it's a play and that it's at the game. So it's, you're not having fun. It's not like you can't do anything. So.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean it has to be fun all the time and every day at every moment. Right.
Yeah.
What's it like when you have a bad day? Like when you're mad, you're not, or for whatever reason, say you're not skiing well, you're not training well. Does mom help in those days? Do you take it out on mom? How do you turn it around? Do you turn it around, or you just forgive each other later? On a shitty day, Laura, tell me what it's like, be honest.
I think when I have a bad day, I want to be alone and then just to think about what I've done and want the next days to change my mind and then just to do other things and think about, I don't know, everything else, but not about skiing. If I have a bad day on ski, so yeah.
Already in your young career, you've had a lot to be proud of, right? A lot of success by most measures. Can you describe it, if it is pride or what it felt like qualifying for your first World Cup points? If the bad days are that bad and you need to check out, how good are the good days and what does that feel like?
We were in Killington also, you was in Killington with me, and then I said to you, I didn't realize it. So I said to my mom, oh my God, I have to do the second run. It's like, really? It's really, I've done it? So yeah, I was really happy, and then I was focused to do the second run just to have fun because it was like my party. It's like, yeah, I don't know how to.
Your party. I like that. I think that's a pretty good description. It's your party. And all I can say,
when you reach the top 30 in the first run, your second run, it's your party. Because you have done it. So, like, you are 16 years old. So just have fun and go.
Welcome back. Thank you so much to Laura and to Danny for an incredible conversation and just sharing so much of themselves. It's really incredible. It's now time for our Swix Thoughts of the Day. As always, I'd encourage you to share your Swix Thoughts of the Day with us at thenextturnpodcast.com. And speaking of people sharing, Kara, why don't you reach into the mailbag and see what you got?
Yeah, our good friend Jacques Reed, who's an avid listener and super fan of the show, wrote in on his thoughts of the day. I think he was referencing our Patrick Biggs and Brandon Dyksterhaus episode. He says, my thoughts revolve around the word skier IQ. I love that Martin asked about this, and it makes me want to dig deeper into what it is and how we can develop it more within our skiers. I also take stock into the why we might think that the Norwegians might be better at this as a whole. Having spoken to some coaches in the Norwegian system, I believe their ski education system to be simpler with better buy-in from all stakeholders, where teamwork and autonomy of the athlete are pillars of this system. We should explore pairing up athletes when watching video and having them collaborate on what could make them better. He says, thank you for planting the seed. And those are his Swix thoughts of the day. And thank you, Jacques. Keep an eye out for a late/early Christmas present arriving from Swix for your thoughts of the day.
Thank you, Kara. That was great. And Jacques, thank you always for giving us your insight. Jeff, what are your thoughts of the day for today with Laura and Danny?
Well, I think, guys, I mean, the first thing is Laura the next Michaela? Is she the next Belova? Is she the next Tina Maze? Is she the next one to have success this early as a first-year FIS athlete skiing World Cup? And is she going to go on a run like Michaela has? So that's the first thing I think that's going to be fascinating to watch. But as a coach and a parent of an athlete and a first year FIS athlete, as I watched my 16-year-old go to Chile with her coaches and travel the world without us, I find this story fascinating. Another, you know, Kostelic or Pintero or Kristoffersen, where the family is so involved in the coaching and they're such a tight-knit family, that's obvious. I just wonder, you know, does Laura end up having the independence and the ownership as her mom talked about in the interview? And at what stage that starts to happen? Is it happening now? And where does it go from here? I can't wait to see it. I think she's a fantastic skier. We've all watched it, as Kara said. We watched it for the last few years. We've watched her as a 10, 11, 12-year-old, and now we're seeing her have success in her first year FIS. So those are my thoughts of the day.
Thank you for that, Jeff. I appreciate that. Kara, how about you? What's your takeaway? What are your six thoughts of the day?
Well, I definitely hear what you're saying, Jeff. And I wish that you and our listeners could have seen Daniela and Lara as they were talking with us, because what really came through is the amount of respect and independence they allow each other. They weren't speaking for each other and they weren't speaking over each other. It's really clear they have a unique bond, and one that's been obviously cultivated over years of working together, living together, traveling together as a mother slash daughter slash athlete slash coach. And we've talked to several World Cup athletes who travel with their parents or choose to surround themselves with significant people. What did Sofia Goggia call them? Her guardians, I think. Basically for her, a team of individuals that keep her grounded, mentally healthy, motivated, and happy. And with Lara, I think since she's only 16 years old, not bored. So it sounds like her parents are doing a lot of extra work that Daniela said that she hadn't experienced herself, that, you know, I think Martin, you and I were talking about the setting a different course every single run, which is just, that's a crazy amount of legwork. But after listening to Lara and Danny speak, it's clear that the current best path for Lara is the one that she's currently on, and the one that may invoke criticism and make a lot of noise, but it's deflecting from what I think the real story is, and that this family understands Lara is leaning into her comfort zone, because let's be real, she's an outlier in many ways, but her team, her family is ensuring that she doesn't feel like one. That's what I took from it.
That's really good.
Martin, what are your Swix thoughts of the day?
I think you're pretty smart. That's what I think. Jeff, I think you're pretty smart too. Yeah, a few things. I go twofold. First with Lara herself. I'm impressed with her patience and her maturity and her clarity of self. Like, she's just, for a young woman, like, we forget she's 16. Like, she's got it together, or so it seems. Athletically and competitively and physically, she's built for competitive success. So that's really quite impressive. She's smart. Her ski IQ is through the roof. It's pretty impressive. For Daniela, I think the whole story, we have to put a warning label on. Please do not try this at home. These are trained professionals. Daniela is not just a mother. Daniela is not only an Olympic gold medalist. Daniela is an incredible ski coach, an incredible teacher. I love what she stresses and talks about. She talks about relieving pressure, creating new challenges, keeping her grounded, and keeping her balanced. Like, that's awesome. So it's a thin line to weave as a parent. If you're coaching your own athletes, the path through success, we only hear about the Herschers, the Christoffersons, the Schifrins, all the success stories. There's thousands of families that have tried it that are not successful, and kids don't have a great relationship with the sport by the end. I've got no room for criticism here. I think they're doing an incredible job and talking about all the right things. And Lauren's got more patience than I do, because I cannot wait to see what she does next. So those are my Swix thoughts of the day. I hope all of you take a moment and share your Swix thoughts of the day with us at thenextturnpodcast.com. But until next week, we'll leave it there. We'll see you soon here on The Next Turn. Be well.